for making the Absa Marathon an unforgettable. Those strides showcase our tenacious Zambian spirit that we are proud to share. Zambia Kuchalo. Let's make the Absa Marathon bigger and better next year. Your story matters. Absa.
The headlines. 13 new cholera cases recorded in Mpolongo and Imbala districts. Vice President confirms 2 health cases reported after similar metal pollution. Ghana welcomes U.S. deportees amid global... To present the news, I'm Lusubi Gondwe. The Ministry of Health has disclosed that 13 new cholera cases have been recorded in Mpolongo and Imbala districts of Northern Province, bringing the cumulative total to 114 cases since the outbreak in August. The Ministry of Health Permanent Secretary Technical Services, Dr. Kennedy Lishimpi, says the newly reported cases include 12 from Mpolongo district and 1 from Imbala district, while Nsana district recorded 2 alert cases. Dr. Lishimpi says no new deaths have been recorded and the case fatality rate remains at 0.9%, with 1 facility death reported since the outbreak. He says in response, government through the Ministry of Health and in collaboration with provincial and district health officers has implemented various interventions, among them heightened water quality monitoring in all affected areas and continuous inspection of schools, public premises and food establishments. Dr. Lishimpi has assured that government remains committed to safeguarding public health and is confident that the outbreak will be effectively contained. Vice President Motale Nalumango has disclosed that only 2 health incidents have been recorded so far following the Sino Metals pollution of the Kafue River, with no fatalities reported. Speaking during a tour of the plant, Mrs. Nalumango says the cases involved 2 residents of Ngabwe district, one who consumed contaminated fish and another who drank water from the river, and that both were treated and later discharged. She says government has been compiling reports from various primary healthcare facilities over the past 7 months, and so far there are no indications of unusual health conditions linked to the pollution. The Vice President has reaffirmed that water in Kitwe and surrounding areas remains safe for consumption according to standards set by the Zambia Bureau of Health, ZABS, and the World Health Organization, WHO. She has further urged stakeholders to take interest in conducting independent and random water tests to validate expert findings. Meanwhile, Mrs. Nalumango says government is ready to assist Sino Metals in facilitating the resettlement of Kalusale residents who live within the company's concession area, emphasizing that this responsibility lies squarely with the mine as provided for by law.
And the very good start here, if you are not aware, colleagues. We have not just ended just monitoring water, we are also monitoring health. Through primary care facility, we have a report. Because we were told some people came and told us people are sick. And only the food. People are sick, they are rushing. And they are suffering, they are vomiting. Blood. I am not breathing. You think I'll go to sleep when I hear people are going to you? Blood. So we go to the primary care facility. Because that's where people report when they are sick. To check on occurrences of this nature.
As President Hakainde Hichilema officially opens the 5th session of the 13th National Assembly tomorrow, the Center for Trade Policy and Development, CTPD, is urging Parliament to prioritize public health financing in this session by adopting health taxes as a tool for sustainable public health financing. The CTPD Executive Director, Isaac Mwaipopo, is concerned that the country's healthcare is mounting pressures from persistent infectious diseases to the rapidly increasing burden of non-communicable illnesses. In a statement, Mr. Moipopo notes that nearly half of Zambians still lack access to essential health services, creating both human and economic costs. Hence, sustainable financing for health is no longer a policy option, but a national imperative. He says by integrating health taxes and other innovative fiscal measures into the national budget, Parliament can secure sustainable revenue for essential health services, strengthen the resilience of health systems, and improve population well-being. Mr. Moipopo further states that this approach aligns with both economic prudence and moral responsibility, as healthier citizens are more productive, communities are stronger, and the nation is better equipped to meet future challenges. The head of the Mission 300, Andy Heskowitz, has stressed the urgent need to ramp up the pace of implementation for the ambitious continental initiative that seeks to provide electricity access to 300 million Africans by 2030. Speaking in Lusaka last evening, Mr. Heskowitz noted that since its launch in early 2024, during the World Bank's annual meetings, Mission 300 has connected approximately 30 million people to electricity, marking an important milestone, but representing just 10% of the overall target. He revealed that between 30 and 40 billion United States dollars in concessional financing is being mobilized through the World Bank, the African Development Bank, and other development partners. Mr. Heskowitz emphasized the need to ensure the continent's energy infrastructure keeps pace with both demographic and economic growth, with Africa's population projected to reach 2 billion by 2050.
We're holding ourselves to a pretty high standard. We're not saying that by 2030 we have a certain number of projects approved. We want to make sure that houses are turning on the lights. We want to make sure that businesses are turning on their machines, that it's real electricity, productive levels of electricity that are going to create jobs are happening by the end of 2030 right now. In terms of the financing, financing is starting to move, but again, we need to pick up the pace on that as well. A lot of the financing for governments comes through the concessional money that the World Bank and the African Development Bank have been offering, between $30 and $40 billion of concessional capital. So some of that is starting to move. Some of it's going to be moving into Zambia very, very soon. The World Bank's Ascent program is going to be officially launching, and money will start to move here.
At the same event, energy developers working under initiatives like Mission 300, including NG Energy Access, EEA, reaffirmed their commitment to making energy access a universal right and not a privilege. EEA Country Director Helen Zulu says the focus is on building strong, self-sustaining energy ecosystems that empower rural households and entrepreneurs, while advancing Zambia's progress towards Sustainable Development Goal Number 7, which aims to ensure access to affordable, reliable, and modern energy for all.
We have over 2.5 million lives impacted during the period that we've been active, from a solar home system side, as well as from a mini grid side. Currently, we are sitting on 30 active mini grids, and we have a total pipeline of 71 that we plan to complete by 2027. These ones range from about 48 kilowatt peak to about 100 kilowatt peak, which have an impact on average of about 200 to 300 families in each community. On a national scale, in Zambia, we are very happy with the commitment that the Zambian government has given us.
In global news, Ghana has become the latest country to accept people deported from the U.S. as part of its campaign against undocumented migrants. President John Mahama says nationals from various West African countries will now be taken in following a bilateral agreement with the U.S. He adds that 14 have already arrived. He cited the regional bloc ECOWAS's free movement protocol that allows citizens of member states to enter and reside in other West African countries without a visa. We monitor the BBC for other global stories.